Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motors Studio joining us here in just a few short minutes. Today's show sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find them online at purdyinsurance.com. Yes, I am already going through withdrawal symptoms. All right, let's answer that question right now. I am going through a little Olympic withdrawal. So I don't know what's going to happen now. I guess I'm going to have to focus on baseball season, which isn't terrible, but I am definitely going through withdrawal. I will say that. Don't know what's going to happen tonight with no Olympics on the television, but we'll manage somehow or another. I guess I'm going to have to focus on baseball. I did look ahead in my program guide on the TV, and I saw that there is a Phillies game that will be televised next weekend, so I will be in good shape that way. Taking a look at what's coming up this week, Penn State basketball coming up on Thursday. We'll talk more about that as we go through the week. The combine going on, or was going on in Indianapolis. Talk a little bit about that here this afternoon as well. And finally, I think one of the more interesting things is the Duke Syracuse situation with Jim Boeheim, like literally going off. I mean, look, might have actually lost it a little bit there. And I think it's cost him a little bit. It might have cost his team the game on what looked to be a 50-50 call. I mean, it was really close to a charge. It was really close to a blocking call. Depending on what color jersey you were wearing may depend on, you know, which way you look at that, or if you're a Duke hater or not. May also depend on how you look at that. But I thought the way Boeheim, what's the best way to put it, went after the official, let's put it that way, might have been the biggest question mark in my head. I mean, was it a great call? I don't know. I mean, like I said, I thought it was a 50-50 call. Watched it back a couple of times. It could have gone either way, but you definitely don't want to lose control, especially if you're the coach. Lose control like that, get a technical, and then follow that up with yet another technical and be ejected. And now guess what? You're looking at four free throws in a tight game, and you're giving the other team the ball. I think that's one of those things that if it was a player, the comments from the coach would have been a lot different in the post-game press conference. Just my opinion. You'll have a chance to chime in as well at 800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. One of our more popular topics over the last few days was the idea of Penn State football games, or football games in general, for college football games and your perfect start time. We posted that on Facebook earlier today. Earlier in the week, I should say. The perfect start time for Penn State football games is at noon, 3:30, 6, or 8. We had quite a few comments on that.
Well, I'm sure we did. So, are you okay?
I said I am going through some withdrawal symptoms.
Maybe the single worst Olympiad since 1968 is over.
In what way?
Name it.
Well, listen, Vancouver was, in my mind, a freak Olympics for the United States. I mean, the United States did so well in Vancouver, it's really hard to compete with the medal count there. There were a lot. I think if you're looking for disappointments, it's not going to be hard to find on the speed skating track.
Let me put it this way. If I'm other networks, I start counter programming in 4 years.
No, see, I think they should have done that in week two anyway.
I mean, I'd have gone all out. I'll be interested to see if the Daytona 500 beat the closing ceremonies.
You know, I was thinking about that last night as I was watching both. I was wondering what the final numbers are going to be, whether it's going to be the Daytona 500 or the ceremonies.
The only thing I saw was the bear blowing out the flame and then tearing up. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
I teared up along with the bear.
Yeah, so did Putin. All right.
I did. I just, it's 893 days to Rio.
Well, see, that's the difference. I mean, the difference is it's always 2.5 years to the next Summer Olympic Games, and then it's always a year and a half between summer to the next winter one. Now, South Korea will be nice. It'll be fine.
At least it'll be winter-like there.
Yeah, the average temperature is 22 at this time of the year, which is nice. But, you know, it's over with. Fortunately, it's done. All right, so...
And I will be watching the Paralympics, by the way, because I credit NBC for 50 hours of coverage between NBC Sports Network and NBC.
Hey, can I say something about NBC, first
sure.
of all, and what
yeah,
they've
go ahead.
Done with the Olympics? Okay. I think NBC did a brilliant job at the... Lots of live coverage. Enjoyed the live coverage that I saw. We were sitting at lunch at Nebraska. We were watching women's figure skating, which was on one of the screens. We watched the U.S. and Canada women's game live, watched the U.S. Canada, I mean, all the U.S. Hockey games live. I mean, that was, and their evening coverage was outstanding. Not having Bob Costas and the moves they made there, not smart on their part, but everything else, it was really well done. The desperation that they knew they were in trouble, so they rolled out the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding 20-year thing. They knew they had to do something, and they did. But their coverage was great. Announcers were really good. Film work really good. Angles, cameras, the whole thing. Telling stories fine. It got to the point where, like, you know what? Every person in their life has overcome something. Okay. After a while, it's like, okay, you had a problem too? Okay. All right. Look, just race. So that's starting to become that. The storytelling part is starting to get a little bit old.
Yes, it did.
And that's got to change. But their coverage was excellent. Their announcing was excellent. They just didn't have a lot to work with. And you know, when you go to Killington, some of the sports that you saw that the United States got medals in don't exist. That's a big problem.
Yeah, they're like West, aren't they? Like Rockies type sports. You see more of them in the Rockies.
Yeah, more in the Rockies. You don't see them up in Tahoe.
Yeah, I got Roger on the line for us, Steve.
All right, Roger, welcome. Great to have you with us.
I actually have a question for Kevin that could probably help both Steve and me. Kevin, the Olympics have given us Olga Corbett, they've given us Bruce Jenner, they've given us Nancy Kerrigan and Nadia Comaneci and so on and so forth. Who did this Olympiad give us?
Michaela Schifrin. Now, you won't know that now, but you will in the next couple of Olympics. An 18-year-old that will win Super G, already a World Cup champ at 18, won the slalom. She'll be the next one, the next Lindsey Vonn, the next Bodie Miller, the next name people will recognize in winter sports.
What would they
Roger
recognize that now?
Roger, no. Jadeveon Clowney ran a 4.53 at the combine.
I know.
Okay, because right. We're going there next.
Right.
No,
okay?
you won't.
See, and that's the problem you've got. You could sit there and you go, and she's going to be this and this and this and this.
Right.
Johnny Manziel ran a 4.67, dude. Nobody cares
right.
about her outside of her family.
My question is this, though. Did you know Lindsey Vonn 8 years ago? 9 years ago, 10 years ago.
Jadavia Clowney ran a 4.53.
Right.
Jadavia Clowney ran a 4.53 at the combine, Kev.
That's fine. Yay. Yay.
Guess what, Kay? I understand what you love is what you love, but it's not what America loves.
Listen, I've known that for a long time. I know I'm unusual with my sports watching. But to answer your question, it's going to be Mikayla Shiffrin.
Well, actually, okay, that's great, Kevin. Now let's talk about the combine.
They had
Alan
a combine
Robinson
this weekend?
Oh, yeah. People watch.
I must have missed it.
How much? I want to ask Steve this about quarterbacks of the combine. How much of an advantage is it? I mean, actually, does it even make sense for a top quarterback like a Bortles or a Manziel or a Bridgewater to do the combine versus doing a pro day when you can do it, you know, in comfortable surroundings with your own receivers and so on and so forth? And when you look at what they do at the combine, you know, how much of that really applies to how you're going to play the game in the pros anyway, what your time in the 40 is?
Yeah.
Do they make quarterbacks bench? I guess they do, right?
They do. They make quarterbacks bench because they just want to see what your physical strength is and also what kind of endurance you have when you're physically stressed. Manziel is going to be interesting, and I agree with you, Roger. I think a guy like Bortles, for example, needs to throw at the combine and then at home because he's a lesser-known entity. I think Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater only need to throw on their campuses with their guys. And what's really going to help Manziel is that Evans is also in this draft, so he's going to want to showcase him as well, and he's on the same page with him to begin with. I think the interview process with Manziel is going to be critical. I also think the interview process with the other two will be important. When you look at the physicals on each of them, Manziel is not as quick as people think. He's not RG3 quick. I think people assumed he was. He is not. I think that Bridgewater's problem is he's had judgment problems in the fourth quarter. He's also had problems in weather. So a dome team or a southern team might be best for him. Also, because he has smaller hands, he throws with a glove. For Bortles, there isn't a great body of work to look at, only 2 years' worth, and so his evaluation's trickier than the others.
Why don't we hear more about the Wunderlich scores, especially when you're talking about quarterback?
Well, you know, the Wunderlich score is critical because you look at a guy like Colin Kaepernick. You know what his Wunderlich was? 37, which is great.
Right.
I think part of the reason they don't publish the Wunderlich score is that in general, because of FERPA laws, they don't want to put out scores of players. And I think FERPA laws enter into why they don't do that.
Okay. Well, we can talk more combine after the break, right, Kevin? Are you done with the Olympics?
The Olympics are done. I'm not sure if I'm done with them.
Hey, Roger, I was comfortably done with the Olympics after the opening ceremony.
Right. I'd like to hear more about what Penn State, because the Penn State players none of them have gone through the combine, or am I wrong about that? Has Allen Robinson done the combine yet?
No. Robinson's done all of his stuff. He ran a 4.6. Urschel did all of his stuff. Today, Daquan Jones was doing his. Daquan Jones did 25 reps at 225, which is nice and solid. Urschel's strength numbers were okay, but his quickness numbers were outstanding. I think a lot of people think Urschel is going to be possibly a center in the NFL based on arm length and also on quickness and maybe lack of strength. Robinson's going to slot as a number two receiver probably, not as a number one, and he probably will not be a first-round pick. News bottom of the hour. As we try to transition the show back to sports, I just saw your shoulder slump. You okay?
I'm good. I'm good. I closed everything out last night.
I closed it out 17 days ago.
So you have more combined info for us?
Lots.
I'm so excited. Because I didn't see it, so this is all new to me.
It's not a question of seeing it. It's just evaluating numbers. I mean, this is the National Football League. They play an exhibition game. It rivals slalom.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. But the coach from the Netherlands skating coach, speed skating coach, putting down American football. There'll be more people, dude, watching a Bears-Cardinals preseason game that will see you for the next 4 years combined. Okay. Your argument is over. Your argument's over. Okay? Go back to skating in a circle. All right. He's out there putting down American football. How ridiculous we are for wanting to pursue such things. You skate in a circle. Okay. Good for you. I heard he's kind of a cocky, arrogant guy.
Isn't he the same guy that cost his skater the gold medal because he had him in the wrong lane?
Oh, I have no idea. He may have. I have no idea. I just know that he doesn't get it. Okay.
Listen, even I get it.
Even that's debatable. But sure, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thanks.
Okay. The quarterback, you know, let's get to the Penn State guys, first of all. Let's talk about Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's best time at Penn State. Best time. He ran a 4.5 2 years ago, and he was able to get to 4.45 last summer. But for the most part, he's been a 4.5, 4.6 guy. Seeing him run 4.6 did not surprise me. Allen Robinson will not be the team's number one, but he'll be the team's number two, and in all likelihood, he will start his career as a slot receiver, which is fine because Bill O'Brien did a very good job of having Robinson play all three spots on each side and the slot. So he got to play the wide side of the field, the short side of the field, and the slot. So he got to play all three spots. So he understands how to play the spots. Number two, he's very good at finding holes in defenses, though that soft zone area. He finds that very well. He also does a great job of catching the ball on the sideline away from his body, just using his hands. But he does have a tendency at times, and also does a great job of going up, catching the ball with his hands at the high point and adjusting. What he doesn't do a good job of is sometimes over the middle, he will cradle the ball at times, and he'll catch it with his body, using his body. You need to still be a hand catcher in the center of the field. He has a tendency to catch the ball with his body. I always felt that Deion Butler and Jordan Norwood were going to be better pros than Derek Williams. Why? Because Butler and Norwood always caught the ball with their hands, and they get a good job of Butler could run away from people. Norwood would find holes and was clever. Derek Williams was a body catcher. He would catch the ball with his body. That's why I always felt... And Jack and I talked about this openly on broadcast when people would ask us about pro potential, that we thought that Butler and Norwood would be better pros than Williams because of that fact, that Derek Williams was not a natural receiver as opposed to the other guys. And when you look at Allen Robinson, excellent size, speed 4.6, you know, you'd like to see that be 4.5, but it is what it is. Catches the ball really well away from his body on the sideline and does a great job of catching the ball at the high point. He's not a great blocker, and over the middle has a tendency when he's relaxed to catch the ball with his body and not just with his hands out in front. So that's, you know, so he'll probably be an NFL 2 and will probably start his career as a slot. They will come here next month, and they'll have pro day here next month. John Urschel did okay on the strength part of it, was outstanding on the quickness part of it. There's been some talk that John, you know, arm length could be a little bit better for him. You really need to have longer arms. It's where Taylor Leron has really put himself in a great spot. Long arms, and he ran a 40 that knocked people out so he can run, and he's got that mean streak in him. Lewan's probably a top 10 pick. John Urschel, of course, is going to be a middle to late draft guy. And expect teams that when they get Urschel to consider moving him to center. He's smart enough where he'll know all the blocking calls. Arm length is completely suited to guard, probably better suited to center. And his quickness is outstanding. In fact, there are some teams in the NFL that pull their center. John could certainly be that kind of player. Daquan Jones banged out 25 reps at 225 pounds. That's really good. Physical strength, excellent. Stamina, not bad. Quickness off the ball, very good. Negative, has a tendency to take plays off. Which you know, in this league, you can't do. So that's what we've seen at the combine so far. The quarterback thing, Manziel's going to have to show them, obviously, when he gets to a pro day, his ability to make all the throws. But I'll say this, Manziel actually throws the out, okay, with some velocity, which helps. Obviously, dynamic in terms of playmaking ability. Not as fast as people thought he was at, what, 4.63, 4.67, something like that. I think some people thought, see, RG3 was a 4.41. Well, now you're talking about a guy that's in the 4.6 plus as opposed to a 4.41. And there are things about Manziel, you know, hand size is important because that indicates, you know, usually that's a pretty good indicator, by the way, about not fumbling the football. And I believe Manziel only had two fumbles this year. So he has big hands that can grip the ball. So that's outstanding. When you look at him. Bridgewater has smaller hands. But he compensates for that by wearing gloves. And the reason he does that is for grip. Now, Bridgewater has had some judgment issues in the fourth quarter, while Manziel has rarely had that. Manziel's played pretty well in the fourth quarter. And Bridgewater also has not knocked people out with how he has played in mediocre conditions. Thus, he might be better suited for a dome team or a southern team. Okay? Then the next part is Bortles. Problem with Bortles is there's not an extensive book on Bortles. I mean, you got 2 years worth of study. We saw him. We were impressed. But you know what Bortles does not do as well as the other two? Bortles doesn't throw the deep ball as well as people think. And that's an issue. He has perfect NFL size at 6'5". Bridgewater's, what, 6'2", whatever? And then you look at Manziel, who's a shade under 6 feet. Now, a lot of people have compared Manziel to Russell Wilson because of the size issue. The difference between Russell Wilson and Johnny Manziel is that Wilson has great command of the offense and all the chess pieces on the field. And Wilson, if he doesn't have to take a chance, does not take a chance. If he doesn't have to take a chance on a play, he'll just bag the play and move on. Manziel is always giving you the feeling that he is always trying to make a play. And for Russell Wilson, there are moments where he looks around and says, you know what? Don't care about the stats. That's not going to help us. Done. So let's take the big three quarterbacks. Okay, you talk about Bortles. Bortles is 6'5". Okay, height, tremendous. All right? So the size, the stature, athletic ability, all good. I mean, he'll stand in the pocket. He'll deliver the ball. He always keeps his eyes downfield. I mean, that's a big plus. Footwork is okay, not awesome for him. All right? When I watched him, that's what I thought. And he also did so much work out of the shotgun. Believe it or not, he's going to have to adapt to being a drop-back guy every once in a while, taking a snap from center. Now, I'll say this. When you're looking at a guy who has upside, that dangerous word upside, Bortles has upside. He hasn't played his best football yet. All right? Hasn't. Kevin's hoping that someday we talk about his kid in this segment. But
that's never going to happen. Don't worry.
No. Well, geez, I wouldn't put the kid down on radio like that.
No, it's just realism.
I'd kind of build him up a little bit. Teddy Bridgewater. Okay, again, wears the gloves. All right. And he does that because he does have smaller hands. He knows it. And it gives him better grip. Now, very smart. He always gives you the feeling he's very well prepared, and his footwork is really good. You watch his footwork? His footwork's really good. Okay? Doesn't make a tremendous amount of mistakes. He's young. He's only 21. He's very mature. And again, cold, windy conditions do not really help him out. And he, you know what? And the thing about Bridgewater is he has a lot of natural gifts. One thing he's not a great scrambler. Have you noticed that? But this guy really knows football. Okay? Is a rhythm passer without question. And it's his football intelligence and how he sees the field that helps him overcome some of the measurables, such as smaller hands and not being as elusive. But his pocket footwork, his precision, his preparation, really, really good. Okay? Johnny Manziel. Okay? I remember when Kevin was growing up, they called him Kevy football.
That's what it was.
Yeah, sure. Now, we know about his off-the-field stuff, which is certainly an issue. But, you know, you're talking about
Me or Manziel now? I'm a little concerned.
No, I'm talking about Manziel.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Great, great game day competitor and just makes plays. And it's just a winner. He's taken a lot of hits, and despite the smaller frame, he always seems to get up. And everyone talks about the height and so forth. And when you look at him, he does have a tendency to throw the ball in the air and hope that his receivers will go up and make a play for him. All right. And that's something. Also, the other thing he has not shown at times is that he has not shown at times to be that leader. Okay? not one of those rah-rah, inspire you with words kind of guy, so forth. But here's a guy that, look, in terms of entertaining, in terms of the ability to go off script, he's got all of that. He's got a real flair. And he also is a guy that when you put him in the pocket, he's okay, but when you get him on the move, he is even better. And people are going to question going in, and he's going to have to convince somebody that he has a great work ethic. I think he does have a great work ethic, to be frank with you. But those are some of the combine deals so far, okay? If you want, you can mention Mikayla Shiffrin's name here.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Her time has passed now for a little while, for at least another year.
Year? What's next year?
Worlds.
Does anybody in this country know?
Probably not. Not outside of Park City, Utah.
And this show.
That's what I'm here for, to try and keep the broad angle of sports.
Clowney ran a 4.53 at the combine.
Sorry, I found Boeheim more interesting. Call me crazy, but...
Well, we're going to talk about that in the next half hour. Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten Network, later in the week. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, later in the week. We're cooking, baby. We got some good stuff. We got some good stuff coming up. All right. All that stuff about getting on a sled, going forward and sliding back and forth and flipping upside. No, done. Like jumping on a rail and coming down a railing on a snowboard. Finished. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Caddyshack, Harold Ramis passed away today at the age of 69. They filmed this at a golf course near the Miami airport. They could not get any golf course to allow them to come on there and film it. They just couldn't do it. And they finally pulled it off, and then when it came time to blow the course up, they sort of did it in a sneaky way. All right, let's just start exploding things. But Harold Ramis passed away today at the age of 69. He was the genius behind it. Kevin, anything you want to tell us about Mikayla Shiffrin we didn't know?
No, I think I'm good.
Jadeveon Clowney ran a 4.53.
Mikayla Shiffrin won a gold medal.
Yeah, and Clowney ran a 4.53.
The 4.53 don't mean nothing until you get a paycheck, baby.
You don't think he's going to get one?
I didn't say that. I said it doesn't mean anything until you get a paycheck.
You don't think he's going to get one?
Well, is he going to get endorsements right away? I don't know. Michaela Schifrin might.
She'll be in the witness protection program till South Korea. He'll be on every week. And I'm not a big Clowney fan, but he'll be on every week.